I'm not certain you are aware how close I came to singing in the choir tonight. While we were singing our worship songs, I slipped over back of the communion table to be in place, and when we finished, I looked and I saw Phil coming at me on the side, and I thought, oh boy, I have messed it up now. I said, Phil, am I in your way? And he said, no, but you will have to sing if you sit there. But I did not, praise God, and that was beautiful. I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture, been recorded in the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter. Begin reading with the 23rd verse. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who would get it. This happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among themselves and cast lot for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, and so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his life. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the south coast of China, there is a mountainous hill just over the harbor of Macau. In the mid-1700s, Portuguese settlers from China built a cathedral on that site. It was their place of worship. It reminded them of the wonder of God's grace and provision, and they had built it for the glory of God. But some years later, a typhoon hit the coast with such force that the cathedral was destroyed, all except one wall that was left standing. And on the crest of that wall was a giant bronze cross. The story is told that on a clear day, you could see that cross far out into the sea. Well, in 1825, a man by the name of Sir John Browning was shipwrecked just off the coast of China. Clinging to the wreckage of his ship, he had about given up any hope of being rescued, when suddenly through the storm, he saw that cross, and with his gaze riveted on it, brought him to safety. He was so moved by the dramatic rescue that later he wrote a poem, and that poem has now become one of the great hymns of the church. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the lights of sacred story gathered round its head sublime. You know, that's the truth. All of the light of the sacred story, all of the wonder and the purpose of God is focused on that cross. For when we come to see the cross, we are reminded afresh that the cross is God's provision for our redemption. We call today Good Friday. We call it that because this is the time that we pause and in our own way, and sometime collectively, we focus our attentions on a cross and the meaning of that cross for our lives and what God has provided for us through that cross. And we do that tonight. You know, as we come tonight, and in our mind's eye, we can see that cross standing before us. We recognize that we are seeing sin at its worst. You see, when the will of man runs counter to the will of God, the result is always a cross. And that's what you see when you see a cross. The will of man going counter to the will of God. And the results of the shame and the humiliation and the agony and the suffering that he endured because of that cross and because of sin. But you don't have to be very careful, because tonight when I come to look at that cross, the sins that I see there are not generic sins. They're very personal sins. You see, it is not sin that put Jesus on that cross. It's my sin. I hear the word of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I know that I'm included in that. I hear the word of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. I know that includes me. I hear the word of God. We are not the people of God. I know I'm included in that. You see, I turn to the word of God and I hear it speak to me. And I see my sin, and it grieves me deeply. The time that I was a coward because I would not stand up for what I knew to be right. How greedy I was when somebody else got my share. The jealousy that welled up within me because somebody else got the prize on which I'd set my heart. The moral laxity when I thought no one was watching. The rumor and half-truth I spread about a person because I disagreed with them. My unwillingness to forgive and the grudge that I could hold. I look at that cross and it's my sin that I see. Let me tell you, you can add your sin to it. I don't need to do that for you. But it is my sin. And when I see my sin, it breaks my heart, because it is my sin that caused him to go to the cross. And I can cry, woe is me, because I'm undone. Yes, we look at that cross and we see sin at its very worst, because it is sin that put him there. But you know, we can look at the cross again tonight and realize that we not only see sin at its worst, but we see love at its best. You see, the message of a cross is the message that God loves you. Man, that's the foundation of everything. That is the conviction on which you can build your faith. God, you are love. I build my faith on that. Oh, I know that there are other aspects of the gospel. I know that Paul speaks about the terror of the Lord. I know what the writer to the Hebrews meant when he said, our God is a consuming fire. I know that the sentimental religion, which makes God a mere principle of good-natured indulgence, has no place in Scripture or experience. But I know this also. Any man who has looked into the eyes of Jesus, I don't care how sinful or shabby or wretched, you can say to him, God loves you. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. Let me tell you tonight, no measuring line has ever been invented that can put a limit on that love. Have you ever seen the sinner that God did not love? Search the Scriptures. Can you find anywhere, I waited for the Lord and he refused to hear my cry. I begged him for pardon and he answered no. Can you find it there? Of course you can. It's not there. It didn't happen. What you do find is a love without end or limit that comes to meet us where we are and to make that provision that restores us to the fullness and the wholeness of life. Let me tell you tonight, God loves you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I ask you to do. See, from his head, his hands and feet, sorrow and love flow mingle down? Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Of thorns composed so rich a crown? Indeed not. We look at that cross and we are reminded that here is love at its finest, because it is God's love for you and me, even though it is our sin that caused him to go to that cross. But you know, we look at the cross again tonight and we recognize that in that cross, redemption is completed. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, he had a purpose, and that purpose was the redemption of man through the cross. And while he hung on that cross and everything had been done to complete that purpose, he cried, "It is finished." Let me tell you, that was not the cry of defeat. That was the cry of victory. Finished, the sin and the pain and the humiliation and the separation. Finished, Satan. He has been defeated, and no longer does he have the power to defeat the people of God. Finished, the sacrifice for our sins. For Jesus is the Lamb who made the sacrifice and paid the debt, never to be repeated. You see, when Jesus came, he did a complete work. And all that is left for you and me is to receive the completeness of what he has done. And we see it sealed right here at this table. This table reminds us of the richness of God's blessings, the wonder of his provision, when we can come to him in his Son. Sinners, absolutely. Redeemed sinners, absolutely. Set free, absolutely. We're the people of God, and it's finished. And it's finished on the cross. And so we come tonight in great love and great humility. We come to receive the elements of a supper. We're simply reminding ourselves it's finished for each one of us. And we belong to God in Jesus.